My parents have a plaque just right above their fireplace. Great is thy faithfulness. What a wonderful phrase, isn't it?
Amen.
See that proclaimed not only in Jeremiah, but in Lamentations at a time of great sorrow. And, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And I like the way that song puts it, Lord, unto me. Sometimes it's easy to think that God is faithful to everybody else but me. But he's faithful to us too.
Amen.
With saying that, we're having a couples retreat coming up. And we have a sign-up sheet in the back. Ray has kind of helped reserve us a place at a hotel down by in St. Augustine area, right off the World Golf Village area there. And my folks will be doing the meeting. So my mom and dad will actually be doing the couples retreat, and I'm looking forward to seeing them as well as hearing from them. And they've had a few years, over 60-some-odd years in couples and what it means to be a couple, and so they're going to share with us some of their great wisdom in that. If you turn me to 1 Samuel chapter 8, as we have been studying in the Gospel of Matthew about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. What a wonderful truth as we've been reading the pages of this gospel that we have a kingdom that is not like the kingdom of this world. Where did the whole kingdom idea come from? Well, what we know is that man from the very get-go has desired a kingdom. And when man even had the option not to be a part of a kingdom, he still wanted it. Some of it had to do with the fact that the world had their kingdoms and they wanted to be just like them. And so God's people cried out to God, we want a kingdom just like the world. God at this juncture begins to warn his people, I don't think you want a government kingdom because they're going to take advantage of you. And we see really in this particular setting of 1 Samuel chapter 8, the sorrow of a people demanding a king like the world. And really rejecting God as their king. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1, and it says this, it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. It's one of the problems with having men in charge, isn't it? Well, the world, or the people of Israel at this time, saw this as an opportunity to say, okay, what we really need is just a king. It's interesting that our solutions to problems is more problems. You know, well, so if the government's not working, we'll just get bigger government or more government. That'll actually help the problem. Well, it won't, because if there's corruption in the small end, there's going to be corruption in the big end. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, behold, you've grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now you need to appoint a king for us to judge us, so that we can be like everybody else, like all the other nations. But this thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel did what we all should do when we're feeling troubled. He prayed to God. The Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they rejected me from being their king. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them from the land of Egypt. In other words, they have perpetually rejected me in almost every conceivable way. So I guess it's no different today. In that they have forsaken me and they have served other gods, so they are doing this day also. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you need to warn them what they're in for. Tell them what they're in for. Tell them the procedure. Tell them the custom of the king who will reign over them. Tell them what government is all about. Well, Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the custom, this will be the way that a king reigns over you. He'll take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen. And they will run before his chariots Man's government will take your future and your best. He'll take your loved ones and he'll use them and exploit them for his own desires. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands of 50s, and some of them he'll have plow and reap his harvest, and others he'll have make weapons of war for himself and equip them for his chariots. He will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. He'll take the best of your fields, your vineyards, your olive groves. He'll give them to his servants. He'll take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and he'll give it to his officers and to his servants. And he'll also take your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. And he will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. The day is coming when you'll cry out, but the Lord will not answer you. One word repeated over and over again is take, take, take. Do you feel that with government? Take. God so loved the world that he gave. And God has allowed us to be a part of a kingdom, not of one that takes, but one that gives. What a wonderful kingdom we have in Christ. Father, I want to give you thanks for your loving kindness to us and for your marvelous kingdom, which we so desperately want to be a part of. But the contrast is so obvious and so wonderful. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.